I'm Matt McCleskey with WAMU News. It's no surprise that Metro is facing financial issues, but this week we heard they're more serious and immediate than had been thought. One official even said without an infusion of grant and loan money, the system could be insolvent by September. Joining me now to talk about Metro and other news this week is the Washington Post's Robert McCartney. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Now, General Manager Paul Wiedefeld said this week he's been doing everything he can with savings, reshuffling things, and cutting some positions, but he said he's nearly out of options.
What I'm trying to do is maximize everything we can in terms of efficiency, in terms of right-sizing both internally and externally. But at some point, there's nothing left for me to go to, and we're fast approaching that.
He says a structural solution in funding is really what's needed. What's it going to take to fix Metro's money?
Well, I think what it's going to take is some kind of region-wide sales tax or some other form of dedicated funding, and that's only going to happen if there are governance and management reforms and some adjustments, I think, in labor policy. I think what's really significant here is that Wiedefeld, you know, who's been treated a lot as almost a heroic savior for Metro, he has begun saying explicitly that the financial crunch is getting so bad that he cannot manage it on his own beyond the summer of next year. Now, the board chair, Jack Evans, has been saying this every chance he gets since he joined the board 2 years ago. But he's said it so often that he's like the boy who cried wolf, and people kind of got to where they were disregarding him. But now with Wiedefeld saying pretty much the same thing, it carries a lot more weight.
And you have a detailed piece in this morning's paper where the word insolvent is used. I mean, that's pretty strong language. What's it going to take to keep Metro solvent?
Well, to keep it solvent, as the story by myself and my colleague Fez Siddiqui says, is they need two loans, a short-term loan and a big long-term loan, and a long-delayed federal grant, all to come through by September. And actually, two of the things have to come before September. And this totals $800 million. And if they don't get this $800 million, then they are going to run out of money. They would basically, their cash on hand would be negative. They could always juggle funds in order to meet payroll and stuff like that. But it just shows how fragile their financial situation is. Evans said that they needed all three infusions of cash or it would face a real problem. Now, Metro says it's confident that the money will be forthcoming, but if anything goes wrong, there's trouble.
It's very close to the edge. And really, the issue here is you have all these different jurisdictions involved, and are they talking with each other or past each other in this?
Well, I see very little real cooperation on a substantive, comprehensive plan that would get passed any time close to quickly enough to deal with this financial crunch that Wiedefeld says is coming in the middle of next year.
And meanwhile, ridership is down, and that's affecting revenue, of course, as well. And other news this week, a federal appeals court in Virginia upheld Maryland's strict gun control measures that were passed after the Sandy Hook massacre in Connecticut. That's another big development.
Yeah, that's a very significant victory for supporters of gun control, and especially for Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch. He led the effort to pass the law when he was a state senator representing Montgomery County, and he defended the law in his current role as Attorney General. The law that was upheld was similar to ones in seven other states, but the ruling went further than other courts that have ruled on the matter because it said explicitly that assault weapons and large-capacity magazines are not protected by the Second Amendment. So that means Maryland can continue to ban powerful semi-automatic guns with certain military-type features. It's not clear whether the Supreme Court would agree to review the ruling. So far, the justices have declined to clarify what they meant in a 2008 decision, which allowed states to ban firearms that were weapons of war.
Just a few seconds left, but quickly, another big piece of news yesterday. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said this week that she's naming interim police chief Peter Newsom to fill that job permanently. He's been with the force for nearly three decades. How's his nomination being received?
I think it's being received pretty well. I think what's interesting here is that Bowser went for continuity. He's been an assistant chief for a long time, has basically made his whole career here. And she's basically trying to build on the legacy of Kathy Lanier, who was police chief before, of course, and had a good record. Now, this picking of an insider was in contrast with her pick for schools chancellor, where she conducted a nationwide search and ended up bringing in Antoine Wilson from Oakland, California. So basically the insider for the police, but an outsider for schools.
Washington Post senior regional correspondent Robert McCartney, as always, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.